Hey, there we are. Ah, Tanya Jane, how the devil are you?
I'm getting flashbacks. This is deja vu. So I'm just going to pull the curtain back right off the bat. This is the second time I've heard this intro, because not 30 seconds prior, Stu did something that, strangely, in 4 years hasn't happened, but has just happened. And it was the, oh, I'm not actually recording. I'll do that now. So there's an entire intro of about 4 minutes where it's just me going, as Stu explains the interesting history of Ahi Day. So do you want to do that again?
Well, I think you just keep that there. You just keep that, your reaction to it. And that will prompt the listener to say, Ahi Day, I must go and look that up. All right, I'll give you the potted history, even shorter.
This time. This is arguably longer than the first version that doesn't exist.
Good point. Well made, if slightly confusing. So, Ahi is the Greek for no. And the Italians, in 1940, on the 28th of October, no less, decided that they wanted to pass through Greece to sort of cause mayhem, fight wars, Second World War, all that sort of stuff. And the ultimatum was given by the Italian ambassador to Greece, and the Greek prime minister, a gentleman called Metaxas, turned round and said, it is alleged. Ahi, no. And the thing that tickles me is that that's then became the sort of rallying cry of the Greeks throughout the World War II. But it's not what he said. What he actually said was even better, because at the time, the language of diplomacy was French. And so, having received this ultimatum, he turned to the guy and said, alors, c'est la guerre, which is, so it is war. And that's how Greece got itself involved in the Second World War. And it was giving the Italians a bit of a bloody nose, to be honest, until the Germans turned up and sort of got a little bit roughed up and macho about the whole thing. But anyway, we know how it ended up. It ended up all right. And this one's been recorded.
For posterity, among other things. Well, that's good. I'm sure this hasn't been a confusing 7 minutes for everyone involved. But shall we go on to writing? I think I just started talking about my writing before you told me that you weren't talking about yours.
TJ, what are you writing with?
I'm actually writing with something quite interesting. In my clear outs, which we mentioned, I uncovered a little stash of Tombow Mono 100s, which is a lovely Japanese pencil. And so I'm actually writing with an HB Mono 100, which is broadly like writing with a needle. It's quite hard, but it's a very pleasant hard pencil. It doesn't feel like you're writing with a fork. It just is very, very, very pointy, very sharp, and nice, clean, neat little lines. So my handwriting looks a lot better, but it's through no fault of my own.
Mm. They are lovely pencils, the Tombow. Mm. I've got a couple of my own lying around somewhere. And how is your giveaway packaging going? I mean, what is it now? A container full, or
it's one really useful. It's 9 liters of pencils currently. So I have that. I set up.
Well, I'm not
Slack
sure I could drink that in one go.
No, it depends what it is. So I have found a few bubble envelopes, which I think will do well for notebooks and such. I'm not sure about sending a bunch of pencils in them. I mean, this is actually something you probably could help with, or Claire could help with. Posting pencils, sort of say between 2 and 10. Bubble mailer envelope, is that going to work, or are they going to come out as dust?
Well, I mean, if you're, 2 is probably just wrapped in tissue paper, and then we use the sort of recycled cardboard envelopes. They're pretty robust. And then if you're sending more, knowing Claire, she would probably sort of wrap them in very neat fours with a sort of selection of stickers that just make everything look amazing. And again, those recycled envelopes are brilliant. If you were worried about sort of core damage and things, then I guess a little bit of bubble wrap, but then you're getting into bigger envelopes and stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't mind about the envelope size so much. It's more I don't want people to get trashed pencils at the other end. There's no fun in that. So notebooks are fine because they're flat So mm-hmm. the bubble mealers, I think I'll keep for those. But I think perhaps either a few small boxes, because I went and did, I have a scale from the kitchen, arguably, but a scale nevertheless. And I have an index card with small illustrations of parcels and letters and the various size maximums that those are allowed. So I've done my research, or at least started it. And I'm starting to sort of pull together how many I'm going to need to make and where they're going and that kind of thing. So a few people have popped up in the Slack and nicely said, oh, these are interesting. So I need to finalize the details for them. And then I think we'll see where we go. But I'm just looking forward to getting rid of the stuff. They're sitting in a big pile in the back of the room. But I'm also looking forward to hopefully doing a wee bit of good and sharing some interesting stuff with people from all over the world. Or probably more likely all over the UK. But we'll see.
It's very good. Word of warning, if you can go to a post office and buy a plastic letterbox, which I know sounds crazy, but yeah,
I've seen it. I've used it.
Yeah. Okay. Because I didn't when I took over Nero's notes. And there are some people who listen to this podcast who will remember this because they were victims of it. The first ever subscription that I sent out, I stuffed the envelopes. I thought, yeah, go on, put a bit more in there. I can put a bit of bonus in there. And as a consequence, everybody had to pay a ransom to get their subscription. Oh, no. Because I'd underpaid the postage.
When the forklift gets off the back of the lorry, and they're like, where do you want this, mate? Beep, beep. Well, as they bring in this envelope full of pencils.
If you overstuff a large envelope, it becomes a small parcel. And that's about a £2 difference between the two. And so, yeah, I think my second action as proprietor of Pocket Notebooks, as it was then, was to send all these guys an email saying, really sorry, but if you haven't had your subscription yet, it's probably because your postman's waiting for some cash. Oops.
Yes, the things you learn.
There you are, you see. And that's when everybody thought, no, he's definitely an amateur. He's not telling lies. He hasn't got a clue what he's saying.
What are you writing with?
Oh, I am. First of all, can we have a moment's silence? I finished Nero's 2.5 firm.
Did you break half of it? Did you snap it over your knee in frustration and then use the end of it?
No, I've been pressing very, very hard for a number of weeks now. But nevertheless, I've been writing a lot of words. You know the start of The Simpsons? You know, Bart on the... That's me.
The blackboard.
Just writing notes and notes and notes and notes and notes. Hoping
I will finish my Nero's Note 2.5. I will finish my Nero's Note 2.5. I will finish my...
It has been a bit like that. But yes, it was finally down to stub size today. So it's gone and joined its mates.
I saw that photo, actually.
Well, naturally enough, what I've done is I've gone for kind of the opposite. So I've got a Blackwing 33 and a third, which I started about 10 minutes ago. It's Steinbeck.
I was going to say, a grey stick of butter is what you're writing with currently.
Yeah, pretty much. It is nice to have a little bit of sort of thick graphite laid on the page.
It's the pen of pencils, right? Isn't it?
Very smooth. It's all black. This is just black, 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 and black. Black imprint on black, black with black. Did I mention it's black? What about TV? What have you been watching? Anything good? Or cinema, even?
Yes, actually. I went to the cinema last night and I saw Dune, the new version of Dune, which is the 2-hour, 45-minute epic. And I don't want to give any spoilers because I'm sure some people might go and see it, haven't seen it yet and will go and see it. So I don't want to spoil anything. I was very, very impressed, very pleased. One of those films that I haven't read the book, but I've read enough around the book to know that the story is broadly across the sort of whatever three or four books in the original series and then the sort of tangential ones around it. And so I know how big this is. It's a bit like Foundation. It's a very big book or series of books. Mm-hmm. And there's a scale at play here that does not translate well to small productions. And so it's really hard to make Dune. It's really hard to make big sci-fi like this because you're talking about a scale of production that needs money. And it's also kind of like a Tolkien-esque, okay, here's 3 hours of backstory for why this is like this. Now you can watch the movie. It's a big ask. And so I kind of expected it to trip up, and I was very pleasantly surprised that it didn't. It really made a really convincing lore-filled deep universe that felt colossal and kept my attention for almost 3 hours, which is hard to do when you're used to watching TV, to watch one movie that isn't episodic. There's no breaks. It's just one continuous linear narrative for close to 3 hours. That's a feat. So yeah, I would suggest anyone who likes science fiction, go and see it. Go in cold, go and see it just for what it is, even if you've never heard or read of Dune.
Excellent. Well, I have to say the books were an achievement to get through. I remember a sense of satisfaction at getting to the end, and well, dare I say it, a tinged with relief. But yeah, they're pretty good. So I'm glad the film works. 2 hours 45.
No, it's great.
That's a lot of films,
and that's part one. There's more parts to come. I think there's another part next year. So this is, I think they're angling for the new Star Wars. Like, this will be the next kind of big blockbuster films. So certainly they've started strong in my book.
Excellent. Jolly good. And on the smaller screen, have you been watching anything?
Yeah, X-Files, which is my 90s guilty pleasure, which we've moved into 1994, the heady heights of, which is good fun. And so it's really interesting. This is when the age of television, when season was 24 episodes. And so I'm still watching season one. It feels like I've been watching season one forever. You know, this day and age, you get 8 to 10 episodes a season. This is more than double that. And so it's just massive. And I think a lot of the seasons are 20 plus episodes. So we've kind of got this massive meandering story that kind of, it does that thing that TV does where it's like, okay, here's a core. Like, this is the normal sort of lore of the show. This is progressing the central narrative. And then, ooh, here's a monster of the week. We'll go over here and look at something spooky for a bit. And then we'll, you know, come back to the center and we'll walk a little bit further. And, oh, we'll go over here. So you only move the season story along every other week or every third week or so. And then there's a werewolf or something in the background in the interim.
Very good. Well, I mean, how many episodes did you say were in a season?
23, 24, I think.
Blimey. Good Lord.
And at 40 odd minutes a piece. Like, that's big television. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's great. It's really fun. I definitely have not seen any of these, but I remember it's weird. It's like a weird nostalgia for a time that I vaguely remember. But there's things in there that I'm going, I remember, you know, being in the States at that kind of time, and that looks familiar. And I don't know, there's something wonderful about it. It's quite endearing, but it's still good television. I'm enjoying it.
Fantastic. Well, jolly good. What have I been watching? Well, The Maid. Have you heard of that? It's on Netflix.
You mentioned it last time, I think.
Yeah, Andy McDowell and Andy McDowell's daughter, and based on a true story, I think. So I don't want to be too mocking of it, but it's a bit slow. Even Mrs. L is there. Well, I mean, how Mrs. L knows, I don't know, because she slept through most of it. But yeah, it's... I have a feeling it's all going to end well, but I should get on with it. And I haven't really watched anything else, to be honest. I've been a bit quiet on the watching front. I suppose Foundation and C2, you know, I keep up with them when they release on a Friday. And that's it. What about listening? What have you been listening to?
A Doofus's Choice. Just literally get into, well, I say work, I mean the back bedroom, which I'm currently sat in the office. And I'm like, boop, play music. And then if I need to take a call, it gets de-booped. And then if I'm off a call, it gets booped again. And I'm just letting it do its thing. It's getting pretty good, actually, at picking out the dog jazz and putting that to one side and just playing songs that I like. So every now and again, you get something you think, oh, this is a bit erroneous. So how did this get in here? Like a dog hair in your dinner. It's like, oh, it's not... Like, I'm not disgusted, but it's also, I'm not going to eat that. So let's get that out of there. It's just a strange... I don't know. Every now and again, someone pops up and you're like,
It must be tough being an AI, in fairness. I mean, we're never happy, are we?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Just never pleased with this magic box picking music for me at a whim. It's 21st century.
I mean, I'm constantly fighting with the Bluetooth connectivity of all mine, so that's probably the problem for me. Well, as was previously noted in a slightly bizarre and odd fashion, we're recording on Ochi Day. So after your excellent recommendation, I've now got a song for every martial occasion, to be honest. So Coat of Arms by Sabaton is all about Ochi Day.
Oh, there you go.
And it's you must bear with me here, listener. There's this obviously could go horribly wrong, but I'm going to try and find the lyric because there's a wonderful juxtaposition in going on in my world here. Right now, how do I find the lyric without it playing? That's going to be the challenge, I can tell. Oh, here we go. A few full lyrics. So, okay, I'm going to just give you a dramatic reading of, I don't know, a verse or two. So, that dawn, envoy arrives, morning of October 28th. No day proven by deed, descendants of Sparta, Athens, and Crete. Look now, ready to fight. Enemies charge from the hills to arms, facing defeat. There's no surrender, there's no retreat. Time after time, force the enemies back to the line. Call to arms, banners fly in the wind for the glory of Hellas. Coat of arms reading freedom or death. Blood of King Leonidas. And it goes on in that vein, which is fine. That's great. And if you're like me, you're thinking, you know, the 300 or Troy or all those, you know, amazing sort of war scenes from ancient Greece. And then if you go onto the internet and just search Ochi Day celebrations, you'll see that the modern Greek military ceremonial dress is, well, it's sort of white baggy pajamas with like little Smurf hats, you know, the little hats that you might wear to go to bed, for example. It's the most unmartial uniform I've ever seen. And when you marry it to those lyrics, it really is quite a juxtaposition. It had me very confused earlier on. But still, that's kept me amused. And the usual podcasts, which have been mostly about MacBook Pros. There's been quite a lot of talk about those.
You bought one.
What about
yet?
Reading? Have I got no. I think Justin's quite close. I've been hanging on. I'm waiting to see what the new desktop will be. That's kind of where I do most of my computing, and I don't really like using a laptop as a desktop. Because I tend to leave it closed and then the battery blows up, which is not a great look.
Gotta be careful with that.
and if you open it up, it just, to me at least, looks messy. Because you've got a sort of keyboard hanging about that you're not really using. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I'm hanging on for, I believe next year the new iMac comes out, at which point I will decide whether I want the new big shiny iMac or the one that came out earlier this year, which is sort of impossibly thin and brightly coloured. I suspect it'll be the big one because, I need more RAM than that. Oh, yes. Not that I know what any of that means. What about reading? What have you been reading, TJ?
Not an awful lot, evidenced by the fact that Audible emailed me the other day and was like, oh, it's credit day. You have 3 credits. And also, you haven't listened to 4 of your audiobooks so far. So you have 7 things to listen to, plus all those books in your nightstand. Now, this isn't all in the email from Audible. Thankfully, they don't know that about me yet. But that's what went through my head. I was like, okay, great. 3 credits, but I already have 4 books. Oh, I need to read more, or I need to listen less, or I need to listen faster. I'm not sure what I need to do, but I need to do something. What I'm doing is nothing, and that's not working.
Yeah, you're going to find yourself in that bizarre modern situations, and you go, I know. I'll get really short books and think that you're somehow hacking the system. It's bizarre.
Yeah. It's the commute. It's the lack of a commute is strange. Like, if I listen to 30 minutes of an audiobook, I'd have to get up 30 minutes earlier to then sit in my living room and then walk upstairs. So it doesn't really work. So, yeah, I will listen to them.
You could put sort of white noise on the HomePods, you know, train noise. Pretend you're actually, you know, commuting.
Yeah, well, if I wanted to emulate the full train experience, I could put on lots of people talking very loudly, not sit down because it wouldn't get a seat because it's too busy, and just stand for 30 to 35 minutes after I get on the, in air quotes, train sort of 5 to 10 minutes late, and then I'd stand for sort of 30 to 35 minutes and then get off.
Turn the heating up full blast as well so that you're really uncomfortable.
And wear my mask the whole time, you know, really just make it as uncomfortable as possible in my own living room, and then go upstairs and shh, commute was just brutal this morning.
Just get Meg to come and poke you in various parts of your back.
Excuse me,
chest.
Sorry.
I'm sure she'd lean into that quite happily.
I'm sure she'd quite happily oblige. But yeah, I'm not sure I like Commute Simulator 2021. I think I'll maybe leave that out and just listen to my audiobooks some other time.
Okay. It sounds reasonable, I suppose. I struggle to listen to an audiobook in the office or at home as well. I don't know. I feel like I'm wasting time. It's really odd. but I changed a long time ago. I switched to the, you know, you get a certain amount of credits in a year as opposed to them sort of pushing them at you monthly. It somehow feels easier. Maybe I'm going to get one of those emails at the end of the year saying, "Dear Mr. Lennon, your 460 credits are here, along with your 9,746 that you haven't listened to." So yes, I will share your guilt and dig out an audiobook.
Thank you.
So I've got a couple of good ones. I've got a couple of Stephen Fry ones, and I could listen to him all day. I was reading the Art of Measuring, or Measuring, or How to Measure Up, or I can't
remember. Measure What Matters.
Measure What Matters. That's it, by John Doerr, which turned out to be less of a sort of this is how OKRs work, and more of a this is how I've used OKRs through my career. Aren't I good? And it was a bit repetitive, really. So he went from company A to company B, and then did this, and it worked, and it was great. And then he went to company C and did that, and it worked, which was also great. And then he went to Under Armour, MyFitnessPal, Under Armour, blah, 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 blah. I lost the will to live. So now I'm reading At Your Best by Kerry Nieuwenhof. I'm sorry if I've mispronounced his name, but it's... That's the correct spelling that's in the show note, TJ.
Mm.
So I wish you luck with pronouncing that if you know any better. Nieuwenhof. I'm assuming it's South African or Dutch or something. Anyway, but that's easier read. It's a bit faster, a bit shorter. And I think I touched on the premise before. I certainly wrote about the premise. It's not very complicated. It's that you have certain hours of the day when you're more switched on than others. Do the important stuff then. Thanks for coming to my TED talk. which, you know, I say that quite mockingly, but I am getting a lot out of the book because it is forcing me to sort of re-examine how I do things. And enjoying that a lot.
Mm. Cool.
Drinking. What are you getting stuck into, TJ?
Decaf Americano. I did the most sort of, I'm not going to use the term middle age because you'll yell at me again. I made the most adult decision of recent times because it was we were going to the cinema, and friend and I met for coffee beforehand, and we sat down, and I was like, oh, what time is it? Oh, it's 7. Oh, it's decaf Americano for me, please. It's 7 p.m. I wouldn't want to be up too late. And then went to bed at 10 past 1 that night because it was whatever time the film finished, and then drove home. But still like a oh, no. I couldn't possibly have caffeine after 3 p.m. Thank you.
Oh, dear. Yes, that's proper adulting, isn't it?
And it's a double-edged sort of like, well, this is the responsible thing to do, and I hate myself for doing it.
I can top it. At 3:30 this morning, I was in the bathroom. This is something you've got to look forward to, Jenny. You'll be spending a lot more time in the bathroom than you used to when you get to 50. And I could hear a strange noise, not emanating from me, I hasten to add. And thought, what's that? Is that the pool pump? Well, that shouldn't be on now. Looking at my watch. I mean, why I was looking at my watch? I mean, it's pitch black. It's the middle of the night. Who cares what time it is? Anyway, I said, that doesn't sound good. So out I went with a torch and my loyal hound. Went round to the back of the house. No, it's not the pool. Oh, hang on. It's the water filter. As we've got this water filtration system where everything essentially goes through a big vat of salt. Well, that's pretty much where and the salt was getting low. And so this was causing this sort of obscure, weird noise that 10 years ago I would have gone, that's a strange noise. I must have a look at that in the morning. I've now reached this time of level. That's a strange noise. I must go and investigate it immediately. Bring me weapons and a dog. And there you go. So I was wandering around at 3 o'clock this morning. And then it's a middle-aged house. So I get back to the kitchen door and there's the wife standing there, not quite tapping her foot, but it's close. What are you doing? To which I replied, waiting for a bus. Which didn't go well. She wasn't in the mood for humour. And then it was, right, go back to bed. And this is a peculiarity of the Cypriot climate. I heard winter arrive. Well, I heard autumn arrive. So we still don't have a duvet on the bed. Okay, that's broadly where we are. It's quite warm still. And I was a bit sort of hot, and I'd just been out of the filter system. I was clearly flushed. And suddenly the wind turned, and you could sort of feel the air coming through the window going, hang on. And it must have dropped. I kid you not, it must have dropped by 6 or 7 degrees in about 15 minutes.
Oh,
I was
wow.
Like, well, that's proper cold, that is. And we're fighting
duvet,
over the
duvet. Has anyone got a duvet?
Fighting over the duvet cover. there we go. That was apropos nothing, obviously. It all started by a decaf Americano. Well, you wouldn't think it, but I'm drinking water, honestly.
Is it that bubbly stuff? You got to be careful.
It is,
that
stuff. San Pellegrino stuff is going straight to the head, I think. What about buying, TJ? Are you buying anything good?
I forgot to fill in the show note for this bit because I was too busy getting a quote, but have I been buying anything? We went to Nando's yesterday for lunch. Does that count?
Well, why not?
Yeah, so that was great. Sort of spicy wrap chicken and some... Actually, we got a really good feed. We had sort of went for lunch. I had a voucher to finish off. And we'd been silversmithing in the morning yesterday. Which I'll get on to later on.
I saw the Instagram post.
So I thought, okay, well, we'll go out to treat ourselves. It'll be fine. And that was great. But I kind of didn't realize how much we were eating. I was like, well, we've got to start out a share, a little platter or something. And then we'll just get a meal each. And then it'll be grand. And then because I have the app that the NutriCheck to add up all the calories. Like, oh, yeah, I'll just add that on. And yeah, there was one of those and those. Oh, was it Meg? Yeah, there was some of those. And then I'll put my meal. Oh, we've eaten 2,000 calories each. Oh my, for lunch. Okay, that's rather a lot, isn't it? Actually, now that I come to think of it, I am actually quite full forever. I will never eat again.
Light supper incoming.
Yeah. Well, we had initially thought we were going to do it for dinner, and then I wanted to go to the cinema, so I moved it forward to lunch. And so consequently, we didn't have a dinner in the meal plan. It just said Nando's, and we obviously had just eaten there for lunch. But thankfully, because we'd eaten so much, it was like, I'm just gonna not eat anything. Do you no? You're okay.
Just gonna push we'll on through. Yeah.
So one of those days, and you're like, okay, well, we've hit the limit approximately 1,500 calories ago. So I guess we'll just keep going.
Splendid. Well, why not? Are you having a day out? You can have a bit of chicken, spicy chicken. Never hurt anybody.
What about you? What are you waiting on? What's coming in the post?
Well, what do we have? We got some delivery, so I've got some light bulbs. They arrived.
Mm-hmm. So are these the Nanoleaf Essentials?
Yes. So the
same as me.
The living room has got a couple of lights now, and the kitchen has got one. And I might need to buy another light to fit the other light bulb. I bought two bayonets and two screw-ins, and it appears I've only got one screw-in in the entire house. So there you are.
I'll buy an adapter. Just get an adapter, man. Just then you can use it wherever.
Right. I'll just write that down. But yeah,
Amazon.de, I'm sure, has something.
Well, that's where these came from. But yes, there'll be quite a lot more of them coming. I want to get some switches now for the runway lights and stuff.
We're getting into this is the slippery slope towards. I automated everything in my house, and now none of it works.
Yeah, exactly. The internet will then immediately go down, obviously. so that all arrived. So I've now got sort of two sets of nano leaf in the office. We've got some bright whites next to the desk there at the moment, and then there's sunset happening over there by the shelves. It's all very exciting. Mm. And what else was there? Oh, and they sent me a couple of filters for a coffee machine, which is unfortunate because I'd ordered a couple of filters for a fridge.
Potato.
Well, I did actually open it. I thought, well, you know, maybe it's the sort of small size, and it sort of magically no, it doesn't. And of course, you then get into the Amazon automated sort of system, which is well, it's sort of like Microsoft Teams but with teeth. You know, fill in the returns form, why you're returning it, because it's, you know, whatever the option is, whether it's the wrong bloody thing. And they say, oh, well, in that case, you can return it for free and we'll send you the right thing immediately. Right. Okay, great. Cool. So print this off, do that, put one in there, put one there, put here, they'll put that, tape that to this, tape that to, oh, blimey. And then this was the brilliant bit. And they said, Amazon will refund up to €8.40 postage.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, from Cyprus to Germany, I'm not quite sure I've got the negotiating power of Amazon. If I stroll into DHL and say, send that, it's not actually to Germany, it's to Slovakia, send that to Slovakia, they're not going to say, that'll be €8.40, sir. I've had this before. Oh, good Lord. Sorry, that's going to be completely different. I fear Amazon and I will be having some discussions if I can find somebody to shout at.
I had one which was amazing. I don't know if I talked about it before. It was dog food, and they sent a 20-kilo thing of dog food, or maybe it was like 10 kilos. It was a hefty big bag of dog food for Blue, and the bag was split, and so it was open, and there was kibbles everywhere when we got it. I was like, well, I'm not going to feed this to the dog because, A, it's open, so I don't know how long it's been open for. And B, I don't know what's in this. Like, it literally rolling around the back of a truck open. So I'm not pouring this out for the dog to eat. And so much the same, they were very happy to refund. It was like, so just pop it in the post. I'm like, okay, but my wife's at work and I don't have a car. So you want me to lug 11, or probably if it's 9 by now, there's so much of it strewn around the car park, 9 kilos to the local post office and then pay postage on sending 9 kilos of large bag to you? Like, no. I think we're going to discuss this because I'm not sending this back because you broke it.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the end, they let me keep it and I binned it and then I got a different one.
Yeah, I think that's largely what's going to be happening with mine, is that they've said they're going to send the wassits to me, and I've got to send them the thing back by the end of November, I think. So I'm going to go down to the post office or wherever they sent it to, which I think was DHL. So I'll go down to DHL and say, how much to send that to Slovakia? And they'll go, blah, blah, and I'll say, write that down. And then I'll go back to Amazon and say, okay, chaps, how do you want to play this? What? The reason I exclaimed in the middle of my little chat there was because I've just discovered something in notes. Now, I don't know if this is a new thing for Monterey, because as all good podcasters do, I immediately just I just upgraded seconds before we were going to record, confident that everything would work perfectly. That one's especially for you, Justin Twyford, is, as I say that, is twitching. I can almost feel him across the Atlantic. I just sent you a photo of it, TJ. If you are, no, this is so, and you sort of scroll right, swipe right, swipe to the right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It shows the who changed what when.
Yeah. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, that came in with 15.
Did it indeed? Wow. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're still on the iPad, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I've got it. My iPad's currently in no-no speak-to-me mode, where it's like, what do you call it, airplane mode. So I'm having to do it on my phone, but I can see, I was able to do this before, and you know, a couple of weeks ago, whenever 15 came out. Yeah, you can swipe to the right, and it shows you when I added things.
Yeah.
So most of my changes were... Good.
You were very late there. Very late there, did you? Honestly.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Anyway, that was
minutes before we started.
Wonderful,
recording.
Wonderful podcasting, where everybody's going, what the hell are they talking about?
Go open your notes app in iOS and swipe right. It's so exciting.
There you go. You'll be very excited, particularly if it's a note you've collaborated on. But what I'm waiting for now is I'm waiting for a couple of golf bats. Yes.
That's what it does.
Yeah, well, there's one or two sites in the UK that are, you know, fully geared up for Brexit and everything, and so they will send you goods and have got round the whole VAT issue for you. So, yes, I'm waiting for those. But they're also the same company that I spoke about before. They don't always have everything in stock. So you give them money and they say, great, we've got your money. Now we'll go off and buy the stuff that you think we've got and send it to you. Or failing that, send you something similar. It's a bit like sort of online shopping, you know, supermarket-wise. And that's about it. I've got a feeling, I got my car serviced, Caprula. So that was relatively painless.
Funny, Meg did that today as well. Our car was off getting serviced today, so there you go.
Well, Mrs. L has uttered the words, I think it's going to cost us a little bit, but this one, we're definitely going to go to BMW this time. So that's her way of saying kiss goodbye to 2000 something or others.
Denomination of your choice.
There's a sort of slight rattle in the car when it goes over 100. If I were an engineer, I would turn around and say, well, it's a bearing or something. But we've already done sort of all the brake pads and all of that jazz. So yeah. We're now down to, okay, well, it's nothing immediately and cheaply fixable. It's something properly expensive. So you can't.
For clarity, I feel like I must say as well, you probably meant kilometers per hour rather than miles per hour when you said over 100.
Oh, definitely kilometers. Yeah.
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 For anyone who thinks this, he's absolutely racing around a small island in the Mediterranean.
Yeah. No, I mean they're huge on their speed traps here. They've just got a whole new set of cameras. This fantastic. They have found a way. Since 2003, they've found a way to put off bringing in all these new traffic cameras. There's been just some fantastic procrastinating and parliamentary cock-ups. But eventually now they've happened. And they put in, at one sort of famous traffic light in Nicosia, they've put in fixed cameras to look for various offences. And in the first 2 hours of the trial, they got 569 offences because one of the things they're doing, I swear to you, if you mention this to a Cypriot, they'll go, what? The way that a junction works in Cyprus is that you have a crossroad and there'll be traffic lights controlling it. And just in front of the traffic lights, you'll be familiar with this, most of you, I think, there's a sort of white line. It's a big, thick white line where you stop. Mm-hmm. And you stop there and you wait for your traffic light to change colour. I mean, it's a fairly straightforward sort of concept. But in Cyprus, they have a sort of amended version of that. So they have a traffic light, which is, we consider that a kind of guidance, really. That's a suggestion where red means you might want to slow down. Green means floor it. And amber means, oh, I didn't even know we had amber. And the white line, well, that's a sort of orientation thing, just to help you know where you are. And certainly, if you're the first two cars at the traffic lights, then you should certainly be beyond the white line. Just because it sort of compresses the junction, and that's really good for traffic, you see. That's how it works. And I swear to you, every Cypriot does that. And you can always tell when there's a Brit in the car because there'll be a Brit sitting right behind the white line. And the lane next to him, he will be sort of, you know, two cars ahead.
You spot the tourist.
Yeah, and so one of these traffic lights, camera things has been just going, oh, well, he's over the white line. He's over the white line.
Oh, no.
He's over the white line. And Cyprus being Cyprus, they went, okay. Look, in fairness, what we'll do is for the first couple of months, we'll just send everybody warning letters. So they've just invested, I don't know what it is, 25 million or something in all these cameras. And we're not going to find anybody. We're going to send everybody warnings for a couple of months.
They've probably posted something to someone. Every single person in Cyprus has gotten one of these.
Oh, it's just fantastic. It's brilliant. I mean, the other one is I was talking to my friend Martin the other day, who I play golf with, you know, who's seen a few things, done some stuff in his 70s. And he turns to me and said, I could swear Cypriots get into the car to make phone calls. And that's another one that they're all just getting pinged for, because it's very rare to see a Cypriot driving without a phone in his hand. It's going to be carnage. Absolute carnage. Anyway, sorry, I was off on a tangent again. What about you, TJ? What have you been buying?
I don't think I've been buying anything. Is there anything exciting? No. I honestly don't think I've bought anything, Stranger Starling. It was the Nando's. That's the best I could muster right now is some spicy chicken, which was very good, but...
Very nice. You can't... I mean... chicken. Who loves a bit of chicken? Go on then, give me a quote then. Give me a pearl of wisdom.
So I was watching Mythic Quest recently. And so Isaac Asimov features in one of the episodes because they're talking about like authors and things like that. So I thought I'd give you an Isaac Asimov quote. If knowledge can create problems, it is not through ignorance that we will solve them.
Very, very good. And I'm going to do that really annoying thing again. Did you see the announcement of Mythic Quest? You wouldn't have because you don't do Twitter anymore.
No.
They released a video announcing that they'd sort of been commissioned for seasons 3 and 4.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to have to find it. I'll try and be disciplined and find it afterwards for the show notes. If by any stretch of the imagination, I don't find it, then listener, go to Jason Snell's Twitter feed, and it will be, ooh, I don't know, the 23rd of October or something. He retweeted it saying, now that's how you do an announcement. It's really, really funny. It's very, very funny. And completely, if you've watched any of Mythic Quest, you'll recognize the characters and the humor immediately. That's all I'll say. There we go.
Okay.
And then, well, next time you go off on a tangent, I'll grab the phone and see if I can find it. talking of tangents, what was I quoting? Oh, I took this seriously and wrote down about a 10-minute quote. So
this is distance... one of Bill Bryson's books that you're just going to do the audiobook for now? Is that looks to be what you're about to do?
You've not read enough Bill Bryson if you think this is as far as he goes. But anyway, distance changes utterly when you take the world on foot. A mile becomes a long way. 2 miles, literally considerable. 10 miles, whopping. 50 miles, at the very limits of conception. The world, you realise, is enormous in a way that only you and a small community of fellow hikers know. Planetary scale is your little secret. Life takes on a neat simplicity too. Time ceases to have any meaning. When it is dark, you go to bed. And when it is light again, you get up. And everything in between is just in between. It's quite wonderful, really. You have no engagements, commitments, obligations or duties. No special ambitions, and only the smallest, least complicated of wants. You exist in a tranquil tedium, serenely beyond the reach of exasperation. Far removed from the seats of strife, as the early explorer and botanist William Bartram put it. All that is required of you is a willingness to trudge. And that's Bill Bryson, A Walk in the Woods, which is a brilliant book. Very, very, very funny. All about the Appalachian Trail.
And a film that I haven't seen. But the
Is it a film
Lord
as
Huron
well?
Did the music. Yeah, Lord Huron did the music for it, for the film that I haven't seen or the book that I haven't read.
Oh, well, I'll certainly look at the film. I mean, actually, that's going to be really difficult to make into a film because, well, there is quite a lot of tedium, which probably doesn't film terribly well. Parish notices.
Well, on your mention of NanoLeaf, I was like, oh, I probably should have a look at that app again and see what I can do. So I had my NanoLeaf bulbs. I have the same essentials ones as you, which I actually really like. They're, for me, I bought them at about like 17, 18 pounds a piece or something. And they're nice and bright on the white settings. They're a little dim for my liking on the colors. Like they're nice, vibrant colors, but they're not very bright. That would be my only criticism. But I'd forgotten that they can do all kinds of sort magic stuff, like patterns and fades and all that kind of stuff, because mine are just being controlled by HomeKit. And so it's just on, red, off, blue. You know, it's quite simplistic. So I went on and made a few custom ones that are like a pulsing green mystic light or nebula, which is my favorite, which is sort of dark greens and purples and blues. It's quite meditative or something when you have no other lights on in the room and you have this sort of pulsing glow. It's a bit like sort of having a nap in the TARDIS. It's quite pleasant.
They're very cool. I mean, there's all sorts of scenes that it does. I'm not getting it to work with HomeKit is not as self-evident as I might have hoped.
Yeah, the scenes, if you make a scene in NanoLeaf app, I think it ports it then over to HomeKit. So I've been able to tap and say, do this. Now, mine aren't as smart as your little triangles because the triangles can do all kinds of reactive stuff or pattern changing thingies, whereas mine is just like, what cycle of colors would you like? And I will flow through those.
Yeah, exactly. There are scenes that you can do with the essentials. I've got sunset on one, so it's going through a little sequence of reds and oranges and there are some really weird ones like hip hop and stuff where just all sorts of random lights just seem to come on and off, which I suppose is handy if you're listening to hip hop, but not much use for anything else. I don't know if I've been bitten by the automation bug yet, but I'm certainly seeing a lot more potential, shall we say, and a beginning
to it starts.
Tiptoe into it. What have I got then? Well, we had the big proper big boy earthquakes yesterday.
Oh wow! What? Which scale?
I think about 3.4.
I know that it's called the Richter scale. I honestly have no correlate. Like you don't get many earthquakes in Ireland, so I've never experienced one to my knowledge, and I don't have any bearing on what the Richter scale means. But
well,
that sounds like a bigger number than. Than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you get quite a lot of small ones here, and there's always sort of a buzz on social media. Oh, did you feel that? And invariably, the answer for me is no, I didn't. Occasionally, I do notice that the pictures have moved. Mm. And the way this one worked, I'm on the basement or the ground floor, if you like, and suddenly Margaret, it was actually what happened. Spicy went bananas on the balcony. And Margaret ran out and said, did you feel that? And I went, no. And apparently that was quite common. Anybody that was on the first floor felt it, because I guess the house shakes a bit more the higher you go. And yeah, all the pictures and everything moved. So yeah, three point something I think is pretty noticeable. That's... Whereas most of the ones we get are, you know, unless you happen to be standing on something particularly precarious, you probably wouldn't notice.
It's like those cat deterrent things that you get in your garden that sometimes you sit in the front garden and then emit a high-pitched squeal and flashlights and stuff to scare cats away. There's several of those in the neighborhood that we walk past. And I swear Meg is gaslighting me every time because she's like, did you hear that? That's annoying. I'm like, nope, there's nothing. I can hear nothing. There's total silence. She's like, no, it's a high-pitched whine. You can hear it. I'm like, I can't. Like, old ears. That's it. Oh, great. Great. And I swear there's none. I don't think we have any in our neighborhood, but she's got me convinced there's one in every street corner.
Well, maybe she's right. You never know.
I'll never be able to. It's impossible for me to prove or disprove, so I just have to go with it.
And the other bit of parish news here, and this is quite moving. We should have music, really. We had some rain today.
The vineyards are like that.
Almost 10 minutes, something like that.
Oh, sweet summer child, 10 minutes of rain. My goodness.
Well, I'm told in Limassol it was coming down. It was bucketing down, said my wife, although she is prone to a little exaggeration.
One bucket across Limassol, thrown from 30,000 feet.
By our standards, a bit early. I mean, it's not November yet, and it's really, sort of December time we start getting some rain. But then it's not that unusual either. It's just we've got these fantastic selective memories. I hope that's it now. Clearly, I mean, I've got golfing plans at the weekend. It's rain nonsense.
That's enough. No.
Yes.
This is an England thing. Please stay in England.
Yeah, well, the thing was, in the UK, I mean, I would literally walk out in a typhoon. The wind would be blowing water at me sideways, and I would just trudge on through it. It's like, oh, golf. Whoa. Here, 4 drops of rain and all the British people go, that's it, right, we're off to the bar. Right, no, can't possibly get damp.
Rust's battleships, don't you know?
Exactly. I mean, it rains 9 days a year. I see no reason to bloody play golf on those 9 days. What?
Oh, yeah. If
spoiled
only.
We are. The good news is I have sent to you the video.
Let me have a quick look.
I'll not watch it.
Anyway.
You can watch it if you like. I mean, you're in charge of the edit. You can do what you like. I'll tell you what. While Gerald's doing his thing, you can watch the video.
All right, Gerald, take it away. I got something to watch here.
This is the 3-pin plug.
Hi, I've decided to mix it up a little. I'm feeling like exercising my creative license. How do you like my range of accents?
The first pin is Stuart Lennon. You can buy his collection of reasonably priced notebooks and stationery supplies at nerosnotes.co.uk. You can read his writings on writing at stuartlennon.com. If you want to see photos of his dogs, Spice and Charlie, you can follow him on Instagram at stuart.lennon587. The second pin is TJ Cosgrove. He created Wood and Graphite, a collection of over 150 short films on pencils, paper and other collected analog ephemera. You can watch it on YouTube by searching Wood and Graphite. If you like looking at photos of coffee, keyboards and a black Labrador called Blue, you can follow him on Instagram at team_Cosgrove. The third pin in the 3-pin plug is this show, 1857. You can support the show by leaving a review on iTunes, or the podcatcher of your choice, the efficacy of which is debatable, or by sharing with someone you think would enjoy it. Perhaps even nip over to nerosnotes.co.uk and pick up a few lovely notebooks or fancy pencils. It all helps to cover the cost of hosting. The 3-pin plug is brought to you by me, Gerald, a totally normal human being.
Definitely real and corporeal, for sure.
Thanks for listening. Back to the show.
All right, well, Gerald has handled that while TJ and I were chuckling away at the dry humour of Mythic Quest.
Yes, speaking of Rob, who makes Mythic Quest, owns Wrexham Football Club now, alongside Ryan Reynolds.
I assume you saw that exchange, did you?
I saw some photos of them in Wales.
there was a Twitter exchange between them where inside Ted Lasso there was a joke made about sort of dopey American celebrities buying UK football teams, and then there was a sort of mock cease and desist letter sent by Ryan Reynolds which went onto Twitter, and then an apology of Ted Lasso biscuits that were then sent to the football club, to Wrexham.
And, that's, you know, brilliant.
The whole thing sort of took on a life of its own. It's brilliant. I'm not looking that up again. I can't look up all this Twitter stuff, honestly.
We need a researcher. We need someone on hand to do fact checking or something in the background. Now taking applications.
Applications to TJ by email. I'll warn you, you will need to buy some pencils. What are we talking about tonight, TJ?
Well, this is one that I came up with. Definitely not last minute. Definitely not this morning / this afternoon. Briefly before I emailed it across to you. But I think it's an interesting one nevertheless. The title is about efficiency, or a lack thereof. And I thought it was really interesting. We spend an awful lot of our time on this show talking about efficiency, or doing things the right way, or the most practical way, or the most sort of smart, well thought out, contrived, long winded way of doing things that will, you know, increase productivity and reduce our KPIs and get our OKRs above our PNGs or whatever. But sometimes it's better to do the thing slow. Sometimes it's better not to do it the most efficient way, or the fastest way, or the least sort of complicated way. Sometimes the complicated way is the way you need to do it, or the best way for you, not necessarily physically, but mentally or whatever. So I thought it might be interesting to talk about a few things that we've experienced where efficiency is not really part of the equation, or it's a very, very small part. And this comes from in my world, from yesterday. I did the silversmithing course with Meg. Mm. And it was really, really cool. You saw the rings. Meg posted them on her Instagram. I'll see if I can stick a link in the show notes. And we both made a ring. I'm wearing mine now, and it's basically a shoe-in or a ring-in for my wedding ring. So my wedding band is just a silver band. It wasn't expensive, but it is engraved, so it, you know, it's sentimental value. But because it was just a plain band, it kept getting scuffed. Now, silver is a soft metal, and I am not a soft man. I end up bumping into things and grabbing stuff and scratching things. And so the surface of the ring was quite scuffed and dented and kind of not damaged properly, but just enough to be like, oh, that doesn't look good, because it's supposed to look smooth and it doesn't. So I thought, okay, well, what if I make one that I can wear more often that is silver, because I like the silver metal. I don't really wear jewelry, but I like the silver, but it's deliberately patterned. It's deliberately sort of rustic. And then it doesn't matter if it gets more rustic, because it's just getting more of what it is. So yeah, I made that. And what a wonderful, wonderful experience it was to do something that I'd never... Okay, Siri chimed in there. I've never done... That's true. Pardon me. I've never done silversmithing or anything like that, never made any kind of jewelry. And it was a wonderful experience in doing something a very particular way that isn't about speed or efficacy or shortcuts. It's about putting in the time and getting it right. And it was just wonderful.
Absolutely. I mean, it looked fun. And I think everybody that commented on it, I think a couple of friends of yours were, oh, yeah, I'm stealing that. I'm going to be doing that. Yep, definitely doing that.
And it's such a good idea. My mum bought us. Sorry, go ahead.
I said, everybody that didn't comment was thinking, I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, my mom bought us these vouchers for, I think it was Christmas 2019. I'll give you an indication of how long ago we've been waiting to use this for them. But Yeah, Ruth from NI Silver was who we went and did this wonderful workshop with. She was fantastic. She was lovely, so friendly, so patient, very, very knowledgeable, very, very experienced. But one of those people that has the rare skill of making you immediately relaxed. So you walk in to what would be quite intimidating, I think, to a lot of people. And certainly I was going, I could be really, really rubbish at this. And this could be sort of a 3-hour workshop of awkwardness and a rubbish sort of vaguely circular looking thing at the end of it. But no, it was like, okay, this is what we're doing and this is how this works. And I, once I get into the flow of things, I ask a bajillion questions. It was like, oh, how does that work? And what's that for? And what's the mixture of this? And what's this solution made out of? And when did you get that press? And all the nonsense questions, everything and anything. But it's just because I'm fascinated and it's interesting. And she answered everything and she went into detail on stuff and she showed us things and she helped us through stuff. And yeah, just one of those wonderful experiences that you do that you think, I don't know anywhere else where I could have done this that would have been more perfect as a way to experience this thing in its whole, in every way. So this is the perfect encapsulation of what silversmithing is and how to do it and what it's like. And so I went in at sort of 10 o'clock with nothing and no understanding and no physical ring. And we walked out about 2:30 with rings each and an amazing understanding of what went into it and how to make it. Like, we made every single part of these from little like rods right into proper sort of shaped and soldered rings. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's a brilliant idea. I was, you know, when I saw the topic, I thought, oh, what's he talking about? And then
as usual,
well, as I thought about it, well, actually, you know, my whole sort of take on note taking is probably exactly this. It's not the most efficient way to take notes, but I don't take notes. This has been discussed a million and one times for, you know, I'm the field notes guy. I'm writing it to remember it now, not to remember it later. Is some sort of connection between taking the notes and helping me capture the thought in my mind. That's the net outcome, output. It's not that it's written in a notebook, because I very rarely look at those notebooks ever again. And it wouldn't work in the same way, I don't think, if I typed. I mean, I do have note-taking apps. We're reading from one now. And I do use digital note systems, but not for that sort of mental processing element.
Yeah.
And then, well, I mean, my sort of huge passion outside the world of working and analoging is walking, which I discovered relatively late. I think I probably quite liked it as a kid, but the Camino is the ultimate inefficient way to walk across Spain, or to get across Spain.
If you're trying to travel across Europe, walking it is not probably in the top 10 fastest ways.
Absolutely. And yet, you know, if I was given you know, a year off or whatever, with no responsibilities and nothing to worry about, you know, if a completely artificial situation, I would merrily sort of walk off. I'd like to walk. I'd like to walk from here to you.
That would be a walk. That'd be fantastic.
Well, there is a guy that's done it. Who walked from? He walked the mountains of Europe. So he started in Spain and then went across the Pyrenees, then across the Alps, all the way through sort of Europe and ended up in Istanbul.
That's a walk.
Yeah. I mean, and he was fantastically British. He had a sort of, you know, really weird rucksack that didn't quite fit and an umbrella. I mean, that was his walking kit. And I mean, he didn't sort of stay in hotels or anything. He sort of, you know, built a tent using a handkerchief and 2 shoelaces or something. No, my good man, take me to a hotel. Yes. this living rough nonsense. But yeah, the walking across a place, as came from the Bryson quote, it does give you an entirely different perspective on life.
I think at the core, these are the very similar principle of like efficiency doesn't really come into the equation because it's not about doing the thing as fast or as quickly or as easily as possible. It's about doing the thing and experiencing the doing and being cognizant and aware of what's happening because doing it will change you or at least change your understanding. And that's the point, not that the thing will then be done, but that you're finished with doing it and are different because of it.
Yeah. And all of the things that we to which we assign importance disappear. So time, you know, at no point during your workshop were you thinking about time.
No,
and
fluent.
Yet, yeah, and yet at work, you know, you're forever, you know, we're all looking at screens that have got times up in the corner and we've probably got some sort of timepiece on our wrist. We've certainly got a phone that's got, you know, the time sort of emblazoned across the front of it whenever you can see the thing. It's all timed. Everything's timed. Everything is timed. We've got to be at time. We've got to be here. We've got to be there. We've got to be there. We've got to finish. When you're lost in something, when you're doing something where you're not focused on those traditional or sort of modern outcomes, it literally doesn't have any meaning.
Yeah.
So if, you know, for me, walking, Bill Bryson said it well, you know, when it's dark, you go to bed, and when it's light, you get up again. and when, you know, when a couple of things happened, one, I was hungry, and two, there was food available, I ate. If only one of those things was happening, then I didn't. And it, the simplicity of it all,
yeah.
Both Stu and I just came away just absolutely enamored with the simplicity. We both talk about getting on the plane to fly home and sort of sense of dread as the modern world starts
seeps back in.
Yeah, starts coming back to you, and you start thinking, okay, well, I've got to do that tomorrow, and then I've got to go and see that. You know, and all of these, you know, your to-do lists start just getting built in your head. As you don't have any of those when you're doing something like, well, a hike. You know, you've got to get to wherever you're going. And actually, it doesn't really matter if you get there or not. I mean, if I could have done a few more paragraphs of that Bill Bryson quote, because he points out that those types of hikes, like the Appalachian Trail or, you know, the Camino, wouldn't really matter if they were in a circle.
Because
the destination is irrelevant. And you don't realize that, I don't think, until you've done it for a while. But ultimately, it's not the destination. As we get closer to Santiago, which has been delayed now by a couple of years, but the closer we get to Santiago, the more dread and concern we feel.
The slower you're going to walk.
That definitely happens towards the end of the week. Yeah, that definitely happens. But you know, because we both then see that we have a big barrier to overcome, which is spousal approval for Camino 2. now we're going to do it again, but from a different direction. I mean, that's largely the argument that you put forward. And, you know, sensible beings like wives look at you and go, why?
Well, you've already done it once.
Yeah, if I have to explain, here, read this by Bill Bryson, tell me what you think. Yeah, that efficiency is overrated. We've turned it into a god, haven't we, in the 21st century. And
I find myself getting lost in this sort of meditative act of filing silver. And it was fascinating because from the outset, it looks quite boring. Mm-hmm. Not boring, but like it's a repetitive, slow task. Literally, we'd snip the ends of this or cut them with a little, no, it was snipped. Snip the end of this rod of silver. And the idea was to take these little tiny metal files and file each end flat and flush so that it was kind of square and flat so that when you bend the ring back around on itself, these two faces can meet up and it can be soldered together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's literally, and the file only works forward. It's not like a saw, you know, just go back and forward. You go forward and then you lift and then you go forward and then you lift and then you go forward. And it's this like rowing a boat or something where you almost have to get lost in the repetitiveness of it, or it becomes harder. And so it was just this wonderful kind of like, there was nothing but this file and the silver in front of me. I didn't exist. I was a file and there was silver in front of me. That's all that was happening for a good sort of 15 minutes. And surrounding the edges. And you perceive all the tiny details of it very, very acutely. Like, oh, there's a burr there. I want to get rid of it. I need to come around this side. And that's not quite flush. There's a little dent there. I just want to... And as you say, like walking, like anything else, it absorbs you. And it is the task. It is life. Everything is this one task that is happening. And then you sort of sit back and go, oh, that looks good. Yeah, that'll come together nicely. And this reverie is broken. You kind of come out and go, oh, right, the world again. Okay, yeah. So there's a couple of moments where Meg was chatting away with Ruth, the lady running the course, and I was just lost, either filing or hammering or something, and just lost in my own little world of like making this ring. And I'd sort of come to and go, oh, hi. Yes, hello, I'm back in the room. Like, you know, that sort of, that magician's, and you're back. You know, like that happened, and I was sort of snapped back into reality. And it was just wonderful to lose yourself in something so satisfying and meditative and yet so simple. You know, it's just filing, it's just hammering, it's just this one part of a process. But it was constructive and it felt productive in a very long-winded way. Like, it's a part of a process that gets me to a goal. But it's not about being like, I can automate this with a shortcut. Or if I use this program, I can rack up efficiency by 15%, which is so much of how my brain normally works. It's nice to do the opposite and still feel like I'm ticking the box.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a similar sort of drive. So I used to listen to podcasts when I walk the dogs. I'd be like, okay. I can go out and I can listen to that, or I could listen to my audio book because I'm ticking something off the list there. Walk the dogs, that's good for the exercise as well. I mean, look at all these things that I'm doing. And I have to force myself to go, hang on, no, I'm just going to walk the dogs. And it all sounds very hippy-dippy, but I'm going to be present with the dogs. I'm going to enjoy their company.
Yeah.
I'm going to be present with nature. I'm going to see what's going on around me. I'm going to see where I live. I'm going to understand a little more the relationship I have with the land that I'm walking on and the landscapes I'm walking through. And you want to do meditation, you don't need an app. That's what you need, is a bit of nature.
Yeah, two dogs and 3 miles.
The idea, I mean, they were so huge and I was so bored. What the hell was I going to do for 6 whole weeks? And that's because we hadn't learnt all about efficiency and all of that stuff. We sort of controlled time differently because we had these big long holidays and boredom and all that stuff that we've sort of driven out of our lives now. Where, you know, if you or I is got 15 minutes, oh well, I'll just put a podcast on, or I'll just catch up with that, or I'll just read this article, or I'll just do instead of just sort of sitting there and going, do you know what, I'll just relax. Oh, I say, very exciting. Well, there we are. So I'm a TV presenter at last. Well, more of a radio presenter. So I've got a producer who's giving me instructions in both ears, because, well, let's face it, we did it in one, I just ignore him. TJ's just the very thought, that hearing about walking the dog, he felt moved to go and walk the dog. He's taken his headphones with him, but he's not taken his microphone. So he's just down there, a little stroll, Northern Ireland. It's probably raining sideways, I'd imagine, 4 or 5 degrees. It'll be fairly grim there in Northern Ireland this time of year. But little Blue will be looking at him adoringly, going, oh, thanks, Dad. I needed that, Dad. And we'll now obviously expect TJ's company to continue. He'll want to sort of snuggle down and maybe play with a toy, have a little fight, perhaps a biscuit or a treat.
Yeah, I'm back.
And And he's back. It's all right, TJ. I just, yeah, didn't really say much, to be honest.
I could hear you, but it was it was a strange where it was like, I can't say anything because my microphone's upstairs, but the dog really needs to pee because he's Meg's out and he's kind of come and went, Dad, please, I know you're behind this locked door, but I really need to pee. So it felt awful. So I was like, Stu's got a good 3 or 4 minutes left in him here. And then you didn't. So I was down at the back door with the dog.
I can't monopolize. Well, I'd heard the sound and I thought, he's just unchaining himself or something. I had no idea what you were doing. But anyway, good on the dog for coming and telling
me. Mm. Always very good that way. I'm just now knackered from running up and down the stairs twice.
Of course, that's your workout. I mean, a lot of the analog stuff that we do is about inefficiency to a certain extent. Writing notes, pencils, you know, you have to sharpen the things. I mean, when you were talking about the filing, it made me think of the Herville, that sort of little pencil plane.
Yeah.
It's the same, type of action.
Even inside sharpening a pencil, which is already, some would say, a redundantly overexerting act, there is another more complicated, more time-consuming version of it where you take a small woodworking plane and gently file off millimeters of wood until you get the perfect point. But I do see the joy of that. There is a certain intrinsic wonderfulness in doing it the slow but pleasant way. And I think for me, especially because I like trying to be efficient, and it's something I aspire to do things. Like if it's something I don't particularly like doing, I want to do it fast, repeatable, and similarly every time. And I want it to be done right and quickly without much input from me. So if I can have a button that does a thing, I'll make one. With, you know, building a ring or making coffee or sharpening a pencil just the way you like it. You could automate that. And the reason this came up with the silversmithing is that the chatting to Ruth, she'd said, you know, sometimes you get people in that come and do the workshops and like, do you not have a bandsaw? It's like, no, I have a saw. I don't need a bandsaw because I have a saw. And just go slowly. And it's kind of the amazing thing to me was I was kind of looking around this wonderful workshop, which was lovely. It's like, how many of these tools would we have had 800 years ago? She went, all of them. You might not have had some of these rounded, you know, very machined punches that you can use to make rounded pieces, but she said everything else, pretty much the same. I was like, well, that's kind of amazing, isn't it? That, you know, silversmith working in Venice or London or whatever, making jewelry 800 years ago is broadly the same as me with a file having a go at it today. That's fascinating. And really interesting to be like, okay, this is just me making a thing. And I'm just connected to the process and enjoying the process without trying to automate or, because I mean, in my head, I was like, I wonder if you could do it with, like, could you make a machine that would bend this and then a bandsaw that would cut that and then it would weld this? And it was just like, yes, you could definitely suck the entire soul and life out of this process very quickly with lots of robots. But why?
Yeah, it's the same with the harvest here. So today, because it's Ohi Day, this is the day that a lot of Cypriots go and harvest their olives. And they, the way that you do it is you get a big tarpaulin and sort of put it around the base of the tree. And then you batter the tree with the biggest stick you can find. And the olives will fall. And then you basically scoop up the tarpaulin, pour the olives into, big buckets, boom, off to the next tree. And yeah, there are ways that you can do that faster. There are some amazing things on YouTube. I think you can find sort of Spanish orange harvest machines. If you get to see those, they're quite scary. They're these huge robots that go and take all the oranges off the trees on the streets of Spain, because you have to.
So they don't, that it'll fall down and make it all sticky and gross.
Yeah, because otherwise it turns into a sort of sticky river. And you could do it more efficiently, but this is a family thing. It's a bank holiday. Everybody gets together. You know, the various generations of the family get together, bang, bang, bang. It's not always on Ohi Day, but it's around about this time. And many families have, you know, not sort of 10,000 acres, but they have a little corner of a field with, you know, 20 olive trees in it.
Yeah.
And they smack down their olives and then they take them off to the community press. And there's a, you know, cold press, proper straight out of the olive oil, which they then bottle up and use for the rest of the year.
Wow.
A fantastic thing to do.
Yeah. I wanted to take time in this episode to actually be like, yeah, those things are nice and they don't need to be changed. And they don't need to be fixed. There's nothing to fix. Because I think I'm driven by the build a shortcut, do it once, do it right. That mindset percolates into everything. I don't want it to percolate into these things because I really like doing them the slow way. I like doing them without hassle, without rush.
What else do you like doing? Like, you wrote something else. Coffee? Have you got a bit of a coffee ritual going on there?
No. See, coffee is one of those ones that it can be. Coffee can be slow and methodical and meditative. I think for most people it's medicinal. And so it's just give me caffeine in some sort of liquid form as fast as possible. And certainly whenever you're busy, I think that becomes the norm. I'm not typically trying to make silver rings in a hurry. I don't do it that often. So it's not really oranges to oranges, to use your expression. But coffee can be meditative. And certainly I have enough nonsense gubbins stuff downstairs to be able to do that. You know, maybe I'll have an AeroPress, or maybe I'll let the old cafetiere explode all over the hob again. Maybe that would be good. And there's a dozen different ways to make coffee and a dozen different processes that would be involved. And you can go as fast or slow as you want. I mean, I inevitably would just use a pod at the minute because it's easier and I'm trying to get a coffee and go back to work. But I mean, I have nice memories of a Sunday morning French press, which isn't even that complicated or involved a process, but, you know, set everything out, the milk into a little jug, weigh the coffee out, put it into the French press, get your water on to boil, set a mug out, you know, do the whole little ceremony of it, and then make it, and then sit down and relax. Not because you need to slam a quick espresso before going out and doing something and being productive all day, mm-hmm. but because you're going to drink a coffee and you're going to read a book, and that is the entire activity, and both parts are of equal value. It's not I'm reading a book and I need a coffee. It's I'm having a coffee and I'm reading a book. It's a bit part and parcel.
Yeah, and so
it's just trying to be aware of those.
It's the reaction to the efficiency, isn't it? It's sort of I need some inefficiency. I need to have some sort of ritual which says I'm relaxing, that there's not necessarily a sort of end product here, there's not a purpose, there's not a time limit. I am relaxed. And it's a direct reaction to sort of everything else being under pressure. Time.
And I think the time that you get, the sort of sections that you carve out for those are fewer and more far between the more modern we get. You know, the more time we fill with meetings and Zoom calls and Teams calls and chats and podcasts and films and TV shows and everything, none of those things are bad, but they do carve out big chunks of time until you're not left with those little niches where you could have, half an hour, that's about right. I could make a coffee and sit down and relax and enjoy it there. If you've got 7 minutes between this meeting and the next one, you're not going to go, let me just set down the French press and grind the coffee. Oh, my meeting started. Hold on. Sorry. Just put all this away and run back upstairs. You need to have the time. And so I think we give ourselves less and less time each day because you get more and more busy.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's also a pandemic thing, isn't it? We've all become sort of even more home workers, accelerated.
Mm.
You're always available. You're always on. I think the Jobby Job very kindly invited me to a hybrid event celebrating the financial year and just outlining the financial year to come. And they're running it from 1800 to 2200 on a Friday, which would be for me 2000 to midnight on a Friday. And I'm just thinking, when did we all sit down and go, well, that's a good idea? Just when did that happen? Because I don't think it's unusual. I think lots of firms in the UK do that. You know, it's a Friday and the company will buy the beers and it'll be great. You're thinking, wow, shouldn't the Friday be family time? Shouldn't it? Maybe friend time? Or what it shouldn't be is work time.
Or work time under another guy's.
Yeah, it's me being old, I guess. Well, I can tell you what I'm going to do. The minute we finish, I am going to go upstairs and have a nice hot shower. And part of the reason I know I'm going to do that is because I put the heating on before we started. Not the heating, the hot water on before we started recording.
Because you got down to the balmy temperatures of, what, 17 or something?
Well, no, this is literally the first time this year that I've put the heating, the water heating system on. Because normally we just go off the solar, but because it was cloudy today, wouldn't have got any hot water. Well, not enough anyway. And if I don't go and have a blazing hot shower, that Mrs. Lennon will be saying, you had the water on all this time? So, yeah. Getting her to understand the thermostat means that we're not, anyway, it's just not worth it. And I'm going to take some time to have a nice hot shower and go, right, that's me clean. I'm going to shower for 5 minutes more. Just for just the because. Sheer hell of it. Yes.
I think the more we can grab those little, it doesn't have to be making a ring. It doesn't have to be making a fancy time-consuming coffee. I think it's just get those minutes to enjoy being inefficient. Because I'm driven so much by trying to be efficient, it's nice to kind of buck the trend every now and again and just do something really slowly because I can.
Yeah. Yeah, lose yourself in something. Doesn't matter what, but in something. But I've been Stu Lennon.
And I've been TJ Cosgrove. Remember to make the past, the present, in the future. This has been a slow and meditative episode of 1857. How many people got bored and turned it off? We'll never know. And they're getting more interesting as we progress. I'm not sure I know what that is. Well, yeah, just go before the intro.